WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Nuclear warfare is probably the most frightening prospect facing the world today, but our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg says you wouldn't know it from the language the experts use to describe it.
I've just been reading an intriguing article in a recent issue of the feminist journal Signs, in which Harvard psychologist Carol Cohn recounts a year she spent at the Center on Defense Technology of a major university. Cohn's colleagues there were what she calls the defense intellectuals, the men, evidently they were all men, the men charged with figuring out how to manage the arms race and how to fight a nuclear war if deterrence fails. The defense intellectuals talk about war and death in a private technical language, which has been cleansed of all moral connotation and graphic detail. Low radiation devices are clean bombs, strikes on enemy cities are countervalue attacks, human casualties are collateral damage, and a war that stops short of all-out annihilation is a sub-Holocaust engagement. Now, it's important to realize that this is not an especially recent phenomenon. The sanitization of the language of death and weaponry is one of the hallmarks of modern warfare. It did not begin with the nuclear age or even with the final solutions of Hitler's Germany. In fact, it's worth noting that the Nazis borrowed the term concentration camps from the British, who introduced it during the Boer War at the turn of the century. You often hear it said that this sort of talk reflects the impossibility of dealing directly with the sheer, unimaginable horror of modern war. But war has always been a brutal business. If you think it was once a more gentlemanly affair, you should read contemporary accounts of the devastation that the Crusaders visited on the inhabitants of the cities they sacked in the Holy Land, or take a look at Goya's etchings of the atrocities that Napoleon's troops committed against Spanish civilians. It's true that the slaughter was less efficient in those days, but it was equally unpleasant for those unfortunates who happened to be hanging around Ground Zero. Yet earlier ages did not talk about war with such phrases as unthinkable and indescribable. On the contrary, they often celebrated the excitement of battle in quite literally gory detail. We have a great tradition of English war poetry that stretches back from Tennyson's Charge of the Light Brigade to the battle poems of the Anglo-Saxon bards, who sang the glories of slaughter in a language that sometimes seems to have had 27 synonyms for disembowel. So why have we become so fastidious in modern times? A lot of people say that this language is a kind of double talk, intended mostly for public consumption, an attempt to defend the indefensible, as Orwell put it. But as Cohn shows, the defense intellectuals aren't particularly interested in making their case to the public. They use phrases like collateral damage and sub-Holocaust engagement, even when talking among themselves. In fact, they're scornful of purely political euphemisms for war and weapons. They would never call the MX missile the peacekeeper, as Reagan does. They prefer to think of it as a damage limitation weapon. The real reason for the new language is not that war has become more brutal, but that it's become less glorious. The Duke of Wellington may have been right when he said that the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton, but World War III will be won on the little green screens of Caltech and the Rand Corporation. And with the new warfare has come a new breed of warriors. The modern defense intellectuals didn't grow up leading charges of toy soldiers across the playroom floor, lost in dreams of valor and stirring deeds. They were the kind of kids who preferred chemistry sets or later computers. And I suspect that in their reveries, it was raw intellect that saved the day and won the fair maiden. That explains a lot of the appeal of the new language of strategy, which turns warfare into a wholly rational enterprise, unconfounded by any emotional slobber. Fair's fair, after all. In the old days, men like these were made lowly clerks in the quartermaster corps. Now they're running the show. If the Holocaust ever is unleashed, it will be the revenge of the nerds.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.